This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning?
Morning, Sylvia. It's Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Deborah Evans.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, family?
Good morning, Brother Eric. Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. You just joined the call. Oh, we're so glad you joined us. We know you'll be blessed. Anyone else join the call that would like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. You just joined the call. Oh, we're glad to
good morning,
you joined.
Susie.
Oh, and who's this?
Warrior Princess.
Oh, good morning, Warrior Princess. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you, Susie?
I'm doing okay. I woke up this morning.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Does anyone else join the call that would like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. This is Susie. Has anyone else joined the call? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning? Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Susie. It's Barbara.
Good morning, Barbara. Anyone else like to say good morning?
Good morning, it's Deidre.
Good morning, Deidre. Anyone else join the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning and praise the Lord. This is Lady Milan.
Good morning, Lady Milan. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, Susie. It's Diane. Happy Thursday, everyone.
Good morning, Diane. Happy Thursday to you, too. Does anyone else join the call who would like to say good morning?
Good morning, it's Sylvia.
Good morning, Sylvia. Anyone else like to say good morning?
Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, Renee. Anyone else like to say good morning? Please excuse my allergies.
Good morning, Renee is online.
Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, JC. Hi, Susie.
Good morning, JC. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's good to be heard.
Sure is. Anyone else like to say good morning?
Hi, good morning. It's Monique.
Good morning, Monique.
Good morning.
Anyone else like to say good morning?
Good morning, family. This is Angela.
Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
Anyone else like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call?
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Kenya.
Good morning, Kenya. And who else was that?
Good morning. It's Valletta.
Good morning, Valletta.
Good morning. It's Rebecca.
Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Jamila.
Good morning, Jamila. Anyone else join the call that would like to say good morning? Good morning. Welcome to Declare Victory. Has anyone else joined the call that would like to say good morning? Can someone please mute their line? Thank you. I still hear some background noise. Can someone please mute your line? Has anyone else joined the call who would like to say good morning?
Glory to God. Good morning.
And who is this?
This is Shantae. Oh,
this is Mona. And
good morning.
Mona. Eva.
Good morning, Yvonne. And then one that was before Yvonne, who was that? Was that
Mona.
A new? Oh, before Mona. Was that a new caller?
Oh, no.
No, there was one right before you, Mona.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
This is Shantae.
Shantae. And who invited you, Shantae?
A long time ago, what's her name? Constance. I don't know if you know Constance. And then Dion Jackson.
Okay, well, we're so glad that you came back.
Praise God. Thank you.
Praise God. We know you'll be blessed.
Amen. Good Thank morning. You so much.
Good morning, You're Victory welcome. Family. I love y'all. This is Pam.
Good morning, Pam. Okay, before we move forward, we ask that you please mute your line so that we can proceed. It's very important for the continuity of the call. And good morning again. My name is Susie Romack, and I am your hostess. And thank you so much for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday starting at 6 o'clock a.m. Pacific time to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. The theme for December is focus. Prepare to focus on the things of the Lord in a whole new way. As followers of Christ, we have to focus on what matters and remove all distractions. Be sure to tune in daily. You don't want to miss the teachings, stories, and lessons that the declarers are preparing as they hear from God for his people. We have no announcements today, but we do have one prayer request that was submitted on the app from JC. She's asking that we please pray for her daughter-in-law, Nicole, and her son, Gary Jr., as they lay her mother, Juanita Neal, to rest today. The order of the call is a declaration will be by Tanya, and praying and corporate praise will be done by Diane. And then we will go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer, Tanya. And I'll repeat that. The declaration will be done by Tanya, and praying and corporate praise will be done by Diane. Then we will go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer, Tanya. At this time, we ask you put your phones on mute until instructed to come off mute. This is so important for the continuity of the call because it is being recorded. I now pass the call to the declarer for today, Tanya. God bless you all.
Hey, Susie. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. It is December the 6th. Can you believe that? So as I do my little basic introductories and all that stuff, just my way of doing a sound check, I want to make sure that everybody can hear me clearly. And also give you a little bit more time to check one more time, even though Susie has already requested that we do so, just to give you another second to look down at your phone and make sure that you are muted so that you don't cause any distractions or you don't hear something that might be personal of nature.
And we do hear you fine. Awesome.
Thank you. So, you know, most adults can expect that their vision will change as we age, which is one of the reasons that vision plans allow for an annual eye exam or at least once every 2 years. I'm going to stop for a minute. I just got an unction. I want to pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this time that we've come together this morning. We thank you, Father, that you woke us up this morning. We are healthy and we have the ability to hear and to see. And Lord God, we just ask that you would help us to remain focused throughout the next few moments as we share. We pray, God, that your word will accomplish the plan in which you've designed it and created it for on today. Lord God, that our ears will be opened, that our hearts will be enlightened by the truth. And it's in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray and give thanks. Amen. Signs and symptoms of possible poor vision are severe sudden eye pain, recurrent pain in or around the eye. I'm going to ask somebody to mute. If you just called in, please go ahead and check your phone. I hear some background noise. I'm going to go over the signs and symptoms again of possible poor vision. Severe sudden eye pain, recurrent pain in or around the eye, hazy or blurred double vision, seeing flashes of light or sudden bright floating spots, seeing rainbows or halos around lights, seeing floating spider webs, seeing a curtain coming down over one eye, sensing a cup filling up like with ink in one eye. Unusual, even painful sensitivity to light or glare, swollen or red eyes, changes in the color of the iris, white areas in the pupil of the eye, sudden development of persistent floaters, itching, burning, or heavy discharge in the eyes, or any sudden change in vision. Here's a Tanya, not Tanya nugget. I am not a healthcare professional, but if you are or have recently experienced any of these symptoms, please make an appointment with an optometrist. If you don't have health insurance, a county facility should be able to help you. You might think that you have focus problems. Keep ignoring those signals and see what your body does and how it reacts. But at any rate, just want to encourage you, if you have experienced any of those things, any of those symptoms, please, sir, please, ma'am, get your eyes checked. For the most part, people that wear prescribed lenses wear them for one of the reasons listed above. If you are one of the millions of people that wear prescribed lenses, like me, trying to focus without them can be painful, frustrating. I need somebody to please mute. You're talking right now. You just made a comment. Please check your phone. Please. Thank you. Again, if you are one of the millions of people that wear prescribed lenses, like me, trying to focus without them can be painful, frustrating, and discouraging. For example, reading fine print or focusing on things in the distance. If you aren't experiencing any visual challenges but have smudges on your lenses, that can impact your vision as well. I'll let you in on a little secret if you promise not to tell. You promise? Clean as I like things, I am sure you would find it ironic that my lenses often contain unique designer prints. You might call them smudges, but I will never admit to that. It's as if my fingers are magnetically attracted to the lenses instead of the rim. Stranger yet, I can go for days without cleaning them, and then wonder why my vision is blurred, only to realize all I need to do is clean them, which requires action. One could even say it requires focus to clean your lenses, because if I wipe around the designer print, I will still be in the same predicament, unable to focus. But that's not what I want to talk about. I just wanted to make sure y'all was woke. The word focus can be defined as a noun. Webster says that it's the center of interest or activity. Synonyms for the word focus are center, focal point, central point, center of attention, hub. It's also described or defined as the state or quality of having or producing clear visual definition, like a point of conversion, sharp, crisp, distinct, clear-cut. If you've ever seen a regular television set, you know, that might have bunny rabbit ears, compared to a 4K television set, that gives you an idea of what I'm talking about. The word focus is also defined in geometry. It's one of the fixed points from which the distances to any point of a given curve, such as an ellipse or a parabola, I think I said that right, parabola, something like that, are connected by a linear relation. And when you see it, it kind of looks like a rounded V. I remember seeing that when I was taking algebra in school. There's also the word focus is defined in linguistics as the part of a sentence given prominence, usually for emphasis or contrast. For example, Raheem totaled the car, but he walked away with no injuries. That would be an example. Focus can also be used as a verb, and a verb is used to describe an action, an occurrence, or a state. An example would be to focus on or pay particular attention to something or someone. It can also be used as a way to describe how to adapt to the prevailing level of light and become able to see clearly. That was a lot. Now that we have a linguistic definition of the words focus, let's go deeper. I believe it's safe to say that 98% of you listening to me today have witnessed a sporting event. I grew up in church, and sports was not a focus in our household, unless you consider a Bible drill a focus, because then you would have to use your eyes and your hands really quickly to get to a scripture. Anyway, it was not a focus in our household, nor the homes of my churchmates. During that era, the saints were just beginning to abandon the religious theology that playing sports was carnal and or a sin. I forget how they labeled it, but they labeled it, trust me. While that was extreme, I believe the saints of old thought the hours spent practicing and playing could be better spent praying and studying the word of God rather than, quote, wasting one's energy running up and down a court, a field, or running around in a boxing ring. Boxing was extremely frowned upon due to the quote-unquote violence associated with it, and football ranked very close to it because of the physical contact. Needless to say, I am not a boxing, basketball, baseball, or football fan by choice. Though I may join the hype of watching part of an event like a strongly anticipated boxing match or Super Bowl, while I do not understand all of the plays and the strategies, et cetera, I do understand when my team or the team of choice for that particular game makes a successful shot, hits a home run, scores a touchdown, or knocks somebody out. I absolutely know what that is. Speaking of football, though, three of my grandsons played for the San Francisco Bombers again this year. 10-year-old Eric plays in one league, and the older boys, Tariq and Junior, who are 13, they play in another league within the Bombers. Ironically, both of the boys' teams made it to the Pigskin Classic in the AYFL football tournament that was held in Vegas this year. The older boys' team, or their league, made history for the Bombers because they were undefeated for the entire year. That took energy. That took focus with them in order for them to rank first in the Las Vegas tournament. They received a trophy that's taller than both of them. Unfortunately, Eric's team lost, and he was a little bummed out about it, but the loss is still good because it helps him to understand how to manage life's disappointments. You know, there are people today that still don't understand how to manage life's disappointments. The earlier we learn that lesson, the better off we'll be, because it will help us to what? Focus. Junior is the most focused of the three boys. He takes the game very seriously. He studies his plays, he helps his teammates, and he's ready to practice or play a game whenever scheduled. You never hear him complaining. In fact, you don't really hear him complaining about anything. He also maintains a 3.5 GPA. In addition to football and his academic studies, he also plays basketball for a community basketball team. I cannot imagine the energy, determination, willpower and discipline that it takes to be good at both sports and not miss a beat academically. Obviously, Junior is focused. Every time either of my grandsons scores a point or their plays cause them to move towards their field goal, I also know enough to scream, stomp, and jump. Well, sometimes I'll jump up and down, but I do so gracefully just to cheer them on. Here's a Tanya, not Tanya moment. If you are a person who was denied the opportunity to use your God-given talent to run, jump, defend, tackle, swing, or jab, I apologize on behalf of those who just didn't know any better. If you became estranged from your family because you made a decision to pursue your purpose in sports, I am so, so sorry that you were made to feel like you had to choose between purpose over religion, because it wasn't a choice over God, who gifted you with the abilities and athletic body composition. But brother or sister, that time is gone, never to be seen again. I want to encourage you to release it. It's time to move on from that place and perhaps find a child who can benefit from your knowledge and love for the game. I want to take a Selah right there. Don't trip. My share is not about my grandson. But before we move from the boys, may I paint a picture for you? Great. If it's safe, only if it's safe, for you to close your eyes, please indulge me for a few seconds and close them. I want you to imagine my 13-year-old junior, who is about 5'6", a handsome milk chocolate with a running back's physique. He and his teammates are at the Pigskin Classics. When it's time, they run out on the field, except Junior is dressed in his basketball uniform. The coaches want and need to play him, but it's not safe. Junior feels like he can still play without his uniform, which includes protective gear. He is adamant about playing because he believes the opposing team will be so distracted by him that they will not be able to focus on the game. Stay with me. Open your eyes. Stay with me. It's going to make sense before it's all over. Let's go a little bit deeper. Lack of focus is a choice. I'm going to say it again. Lack of focus is a choice. But the choice is generally based on a distraction custom designed by self, yourself, or the enemy to keep you from purpose. Listen. The devil don't want your stuff. He don't want your peace. He don't want your love. He don't want your job. He don't want your money. What he wants is your focus. Because your lack of focus will keep you from purpose. I want you to get that. Because that will help you to understand the strategies that he uses to keep us distracted. He does not want you to achieve. Now, he doesn't know our focus. He doesn't know our future, right? But he knows that as long as we remain in the faith, as long as we remain focused, he can keep us from our destination. Okay, I don't want to get off track. I want to stay within the topic so that I can cover all my points. I'm going to say it one more time, though. Lack of focus is a choice, but the choice is generally based on a distraction custom designed by self or the enemy to keep you from purpose. our spiritual vision can become so distracted that we put on the wrong uniform, like Junior. Instead of a helmet of salvation, vest of righteousness, belt of truth, and shoes of peace, we put on the hat of doubt, vest of condemnation, belt of lies, shoes of confusion, and a coat of self-sabotage. I know it seems odd that someone would willfully put on that much negativity, but I'm telling you, when your vision is blurred, it's possible to think you have on the right thing, but you don't. It's also possible to think that even though you are not fully equipped, you can go out and do this, that, and the other. And I'm not talking about secular things, negative things. I'm talking about believing that you have the ability to slay demons and the ability to be able to go out and be an overnight wonder spiritually and go out and preach and teach and perform miracles. You might think you have the capacity to do that because your vision is blurred and you go out and make a mess. Do you hear me? And you have to turn tail and run and go somewhere and recuperate because you blew it, because you were not focused. Your vision was blurred, and you absolutely blew it. Sometimes you may not even notice that you have on the wrong uniform until someone tells you the truth. The question is, are you going to get pissed off and retaliate against them for telling you the truth? Or are you going to strip? And he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusion. Ephesians 4:22. Let's park here for a minute. I want to define the word delusion. It is an idiosyncratic, or you might call it peculiar, belief or impression that is firmly maintained despite being contradicted by what is generally accepted as reality or rational argument. Typically, a symptom of mental disorder. Listen, delusion is a noun, which is a thing. Some people cannot focus because they have smudges so big that the distracting smudge, has made them delusional. Let me say it again. Let me make sure you get that. Some people cannot focus because they have a smudge or smudges so big that the distracting smudge, has made them delusional. Hunty, it takes focus to strip properly. It's far more than disrobing. I mentioned earlier that it's important to have an annual eye exam, which may result in a new prescription. If that's the case, you'll need to get rid of the old lenses because they may damage your eyes if you keep wearing them. Listen. Are you listening? I'm going to let you in on something that will be life-changing. Are you ready? It's just as important to examine yourself to ensure you catch the designer prints created to distract you from purpose. So again, it's your self-check may reveal the need for new spiritual lenses, which means you'll need to discard or abandon the old lenses. For example, attitudes, behaviors, beliefs. So then, my friends, try even harder to make God's call and his choice of you a permanent experience. If you do, you will never abandon your faith. 2 Peter 1:10. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you are not of yourselves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Throughout the year, we just need to keep our lives, our lenses clean. You may be wondering how to perform a self-check or an examination. Here are some tips. Blow and wipe. Quick spiritual check to remind yourself of who you are, that you're an overcomer, that you're forgiven, you're God's son or daughter, you're blood-bought, that you're a believer. So that's one of the ways that you can do a self-check. Another way is to clean with lens cleanser. I'm talking about your spiritual lens now. A deeper cleanse, the kind that will kill the flesh by fasting. Not this cute modern day stuff where you eat food and drink beverages other than water. I'm talking about, and I'm no shade against you if that's how you fast, but I'm saying if you want to have an impact on and have an actual deep cleanse, the Bible says that some things come out but by prayer and fasting. That means no food of any kind, no food at all. And the only beverage, if any, would be water. Now, you won't die, I guarantee you. You know why? There are some tests, some medical tests, and I don't know the names of them, but I've had to have them. Some medical tests that require you it's a fasting test. You can't eat anything, especially if they're checking your blood sugar level. They don't want you to eat. And sometimes you can't have an appointment first thing in the morning. Sometimes they don't have any availability until the afternoon. Or if you're getting ready to have surgery, they tell you not to eat or drink anything after midnight, and your surgery may not be until 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's not going to kill you. Even the medical profession requires a fasting test. All the more as believers, we have the ability to do so. It just takes focus. I want to give you some scriptures. If you have not been taking notes, now will be a good time because these scriptures will help you to better understand the importance of focusing. Isaiah 50:7, and I'm reading from the King James Version, says, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." In other words, I am determined to keep going because of the indomitable strength given to me by God. Indomitable means impossible to defeat or subdue. I set my face like a flint. Flint is a hard substance that comes from the mineral quartz. It's so hard that during archaic times, it was used for tools. Joshua 5:2 says, "Make some knives out of flint and circumcise the Israelites." But even today, it can be used to make fire if we combine it with metal so that you can strike against the flint to make a spark. I set my face like a flint. This is an action statement. It requires that we do something, but not just any old thing. It starts with a thought. The thought develops into an idea, and it ultimately becomes a decision to be unbreakable, unmovable, impenetrable about the choice I make to do, be, or have. I am focused. First, I see it in my mind, and almost miraculously, I begin to literally see it externally. Perhaps something that I read online, in the newspaper, a magazine, a book, a billboard. This gives me the strength to press toward the mark. Excuse me. In other words, I run straight toward the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above. Philippians 3:14. Determination causes me to be focused. It's an action item. John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's no time to sit around and watch what's happening or see something happening and you let it pass you by. You've got to get up and move, strike the iron while it's hot. There's no way that we'll make it if we just allow things to happen to us. You know, we've got to get past, and I'm getting ready to close, we've got to get past this thing, well, you know, God knows my heart. He knows what I want to do. He knows that, you know, if he wanted me to do it, he would make it happen for me. If he wanted me to have it, he would just put it in my path. Girl, bye. That's pretend, y'all. That's not reality. You got to make some things happen. I don't mean make the miracle happen. I mean, but you got to make some choices to be focused. Listen, do you know that the miracle may occur, the blessing may happen, and you may not even realize it because you're not focused? Okay, let me move from that. Focus makes us unstoppable, undefeatable. Romans 8:35-39 says, who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it? Or hardship? Or persecution? Or hunger? Or poverty? Or death? Or danger? As the scripture says, for your sake, we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. I'm certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. That takes focus. To make a decision, I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm not going to let anything impede my ability to run this race. I mentioned the word action several times throughout this heart share. Hebrews 12:1 says, as for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way. And of the sin which holds on to us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Hebrews 3:1 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy, and each of you is invited to the feast of your heavenly calling. So fasten your thoughts fully onto Jesus, whom we embrace as our apostle and king. Psalm 112:7, they will not live in fear or dread of what may come, for their hearts are firm, ever secure in their faith. And finally, I do not claim that I have already succeeded or have already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has already won to me. Of course, my friends, I really do not think I have already won it. The one thing I do, however, is to forget what is behind me and to do my best to reach what is ahead. So I run straight toward the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above, as I pass the call to Diane.
Oh, Sovereign God, I thank you for this day. It is because of you, Lord God, that we are not consumed. Because of your compassion that fails not. Oh, God, I bless your name this morning, for you are great and greatly to be praised. God, I give glory and honor to you this morning that you may be God. God, move us out of the way today. We decrease that you may increase in us, oh God, for you are the sovereign God that sits high
and look low. God, I thank you that you created us and gave us breath this morning, oh God. I bless your name this morning. I thank you for Susie for greeting and Tanya for that scripture, for that word and focus. God, help us to keep our minds on the things of you. You said if we keep our minds on the things of you, Lord God, you will keep us in perfect peace. So, God, I thank you this morning that you are Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, the God who keeps us in perfect peace. So, God, I bless your name. I praise you this morning. I give honor to you, oh God. God, I come lifting up the prayer request this morning. Lord God, I lift up Nicole and Gary Jr. Lord God, I pray that you keep them in your grace and your mercy. God, you said you will give them beauty for ashes. You will give them the oil of joy. And you will give them a crown of beauty, Lord God, for their heaviness. So God, I bless your name this morning as they get ready to lay Nicole's mother, Juanita, to rest, oh God. God, I pray that you comfort that family, for you are the God of all comfort. God, I bless your name this morning. I want to lift up Leonard Matthew to you this morning, oh God. God, you know everything that's going on with his body and inside his body. You know all that's going on with his heart, all that's going on with his kidneys. God, you are in full control of everything. So, God, have your way in the lives of your people. I want to lift up Katarin to you, Lord God. Just asking, oh God, that you restore the circulation in her foot, Lord God. God, you know all about your people. You said there's nothing hidden from your sight, that everything that goes on in our lives, everything that goes on in our mind, in our heart, our motives, that you know everything about us. Nothing hidden from you, Lord God, that we are laid naked, open, bare before you. So, God, we thank you for your word this morning. For your word never returns void. It would do what you sent it out to accomplish. So, God, I praise you this morning that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, even piercing, dividing the soul, the joint, the marrow. God, you knitted us together. So, God, let your word cut away that which is not like you, that we can keep our focus on you and keep our focus on that which you have given us to do. God, you said, go, therefore, teaching and baptizing in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, let us do that which you have commissioned us to do. God, I bless your name this morning. There is none like you. There is none that can compare to you. You are the incomparable God. You are the transcendent God. God, there's no way that we can know everything about you. There is none like you. God, you are the God who sits high and looks low. You are the God who makes our crooked path straight. God, you are the God who brings us, Lord God, into your family. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you do this morning, oh God. Thank you for waking us up, for keeping watch over us as we slumber and slept, bringing us to the dawning of a new day. Thank you, Lord God, for the love that you give us each day, Lord God. You are so compassionate, oh God. Your love is so deep and so wide, God. I thank you this morning, Lord God. I'm glad that you are not like man. You doesn't change your mind. You doesn't flip-flop back and forth. God, you are the truth, the way, and the life. God, you said no one comes to the Father except by you. So, God,
I praise you this morning for salvation. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for laying your life down to be the atonement for our sins. God, you said you came to your own, but your own received you not. God, I praise you this morning just for who you are, for you are God and God alone. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. You are Jehovah Nisi, the God who fights for us, the God who goes into battle, the God who holds up the bloodstained banner. God, I bless your name this morning. There is none like you. Father God, I bless your name. You are holy, and you call us to be a holy people. God, you said we are peculiar people. God, you said that we were adopted into your family, that we inherit the kingdom of God. God, I thank you this morning for your outstretched hand. God, you said when we're going through things, when we go through the water, we will not drown. God, when we go through the fire, when we're being tested, Lord God, we will not burn. So, God, I praise you this morning for all that you've given us. God, you said in 1 Peter 3, Lord God, that you've given us everything to sustain life. We have everything that we need in this life to walk out our soul salvation. So, God, I thank you this morning. Help us to keep our focus today. Help us to renew our mind, Lord God, that we can think on the things of you, that we put the things of you in front of us, oh God. God, I thank you, Lord God. Let your word transform us from the inside out. God, you said you created us in your image. Let us look more like you. Let that word penetrate on the inside of us, in the core of us, removing that which is not like you, removing that which brings a stench to your nostril, removing that from us, Lord God, that are hostile towards you. God, I just praise you this morning, and we can take our phones off of mute and give God the praise he deserves.
Bless your name, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Lord, help me to thirst for you. Let my thirst be quenchable, Lord Jesus. Bless your name and bless your name indeed, God. You are mighty and awesome, God. You are my Savior, God. I love you. You are magnificent, Father God. So thank you, Lord, for loving me, Lord. Thank you for resurrecting me, Lord God. Thank you for renewing and restoring me, Lord God. On a daily basis, Lord God. Bless your name, God. Thank you for Tanya and her word this morning, Lord God. Help and heal us, Lord God. Those who are sick and struggling with afflictions, Lord God. Lord, help them. Help him, Lord God. You are the only one who can do it, Lord Jesus. So I bless your name this morning. I bless your name, Lord. I call you my Savior, God. I call you my Savior, God. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Oh, God, just be your name, Lord God. Lead us, Lord God. Lead us, Lord God. To the water, to the well, Lord. Let us drink, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us drink of you, Lord God. Lord, let us drink and thirst no more. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I bless your name this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. I need you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. All these things, Lord, are for you, Jesus. Everything, God. Everything, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us be focused, Lord God. Let us be directed, Lord God. Let us be intentional. Intentional. Hallelujah. Intentional in the name of Jesus. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. God. Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Bless your name. We cry out to you, Lord, Lord God. We lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
God bless your name.
We say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's our time to pray, God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Bless your name.
My soul says, yes, Lord.
Thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. I now pass the call back to the declarer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning again, everybody. Just want to ask you to go ahead and put your phone on mute. Thank you, Diane. If everybody could just go ahead and put your phone on mute, that'd be great. All right. No, I don't have a bunch of questions for y'all. Anybody have any comments or need clarity or any of those things? No questions? It was pretty clear.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Catherine. The declaration was the bomb this morning. I really truly appreciate it.
Hold on, Catherine, hold on. Yes. Check your phone. Do you have your phone on speaker? Because you sound like you echoed.
I was just sorry. Hello? Because I'm at work. I'm so sorry. Look.
Oh,
I
no,
really
no, it's okay.
I was listening. I was saying a lot. She was saying something. I definitely got to
Wait one second. Catherine, hold on 1 second. Let me find the noise.
Because of moving around, but definitely self-choices and how you broke that down and with the self-combination and balance, things like that, that help us with the, you know, that keeps the blurry of in our vision and you know, it's just the way you was breaking it down. It really captured me in ways that I'm definitely going to the playback. But I appreciate you this morning. I thank you for your declaration. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Catherine. Have a great day at work. Anybody else?
Good morning, this is Cedric.
Cedric.
So how you doing this morning? I was so blessed by that testimony this morning. Imani dialed into the call and she fell asleep. And when I woke up, I just heard all that inspiration and those scriptures. There's no way I could have a bad day today.
Oh, wow.
I was just so blessed and inspired. And I just want to just say thank you. Thank you. I needed that.
Amen. Well, it's good to hear your voice, and I'm sure Imani will not appreciate that you told everybody she fell asleep, but it's okay.
well, you know, that's what I got to say. I got a terrific wife. I mean, I needed this, so thank you.
Praise God. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Anybody else?
Good morning, Kenya. Okay. It's Debbie.
Good morning. Hey, Debbie.
So I'm driving, but I'm going to make it quick. Thank you so much for your declaration this morning. I hopped on a little late, but what I heard was so rich and powerful. So I appreciate you. And what stuck with me is that focus is a choice. And it reminds me of something that I heard my sister say, when I am fire, when I am focused. And I've been repeating that and rehearsing that because I am taking off those, you know how you get those things that come in your peripheral vision, that distract
mm-hmm.
you? I've
mm-hmm.
got laser focus right now. So thank you for the additional push. And I appreciate you. And then I have a question about the press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That version that you read, what version is that?
Mm-hmm.
Translation?
I believe it is. Hold on one second. I accidentally closed. I think it is the Passion version. One second.
Oh,
I'll tell
love
you. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the Passion version. Phil started talking about that version, and
yes,
he, you know,
I
Phil
love
Watson.
That version.
And I started
yes.
looking at it, and I was like, "Hey, this is kind of no wonder he likes it."
Yes,
it's the
you
Passion
so much.
Version.
Have a great day. Okay.
All right.
Wait, what version is it?
The
Passion version. TPV.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Debbie, we know you got focus around here, looking like a skinny mini. Good job, though. Keep up the good work. Anybody else?
Hey, Tan. Good morning. It's me, Bree Bree. I'm moving kind of fast
hey,
this
Bri,
morning,
Bri.
But hey, honey bun. I enjoyed you. What really resonated with me was the public service announcement, the PSA, the devil don't want your stuff. And I had to kind of laugh because, you know, as believers or whatever, we generally mark success by our stuff. What we have, what we've attained, what we've amassed, and we spend a lot of time trying to protect it, even from the enemy. But the reality is he don't want that stuff. He want our focus, because if he can change our focus, our stuff is up for grabs. So that was a great reminder this morning. It made me chuckle. So I'm loosening the bands on my stuff and making sure my focus is worse. Listen, I had it. Listen, you know how you eating and you cover your plate with one hand?
Yeah.
That's the picture that I got. We eating with a fork in one hand and we covering our plate with the other. The devil don't want your plate, sis. It don't even look that good. So anyway,
look,
it blessed me. I had a whole conversation by myself. I love you. Have a good day.
I love it, and I love you more. I want to park right there for a minute, though, just before the next person makes a comment. Like, that was an epiphany as I was saying it to you guys. Like, I knew I wrote it, but the more I said it, the more it resonated with me as well. He does not want our stuff. He wants our mind. Because if we can keep us distracted, distraction leads to anxiety. Anxiety can lead to depression and, you know, anger and all kind of overeating and addictions and stuff like that. That's what he wants. Listen, he wants us to be ignorant of the word as well. The word is one of our weapons. It's our sword. Sword of the Spirit, right? It's our word. It's our weapon. And if you are ignorant in the proper use of your weapon, you'll get beat up all the time. He will actually kill you if he can. Literally, because then he don't have to worry about you no more. Because, you know, you're not going to go back and figure out how to get focused if you did, right? But primarily spiritually. He'll take both, but he absolutely wants you to be dead spiritually, because if you're dead spiritually, you don't have to worry about nothing else. If you don't get anything else from the call this morning, the enemy does not want your car. He don't want your house. He don't want your clothes or your shoes, boo. He don't want your jewelry.
He wants your focus. And so understanding that, whenever I learn about a tactic of the enemy, it emboldens me. Because I'd be like, oh, snap. Oh, yeah, I got you now. You're not getting that. So it gives me the resolve to fight even harder. Anybody
hey,
else?
Tan.
Hey, Tan.
Hey, I heard two hey, Tan. It sounded like my Dee Dee Charisse, and I didn't know.
Yeah, but whoever that is, let him go here.
And it was Dee 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 Dee.
Hey, Dee Dee
Dee Dee. Oh, Dee 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 Dee. My little sister. Go ahead, Dee Dee. Uh-oh, we must have lost her.
Oh, which one? Me or Dia? Me? Okay.
Dee Dee.
You.
No, yeah, Dee Dee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you.
Because I call her Dee Dee. I'm sorry. Dee Dee Felder.
But Sabrina just made me think about it, too. I caught, because I had my boot camp when I got in, I could hear a lot of it. But that devil not wanting our stuff hit me, too. Because when you think about people, it just reminds me of how millionaires and billionaires commit suicide and they have all the stuff, because it really is true. He don't want the material stuff. He really is after our minds and our souls, and that really is why the spiritual warfare part is so important as a believer, to really know how to war, to protect and guard your mind and your all of it, because it's easy to get caught up, if like Britt Bree said, and think it's about stuff, but it's not. It's about our soul. So I love you, sis. Thank you for just who you are and who you've been to me. And I'm with Steady. I don't have no bad. Today can't be a bad day, because it's always good to have a good day. But when you teach, it just does something to my shando. So I'm just grateful for you, Tay, and I love you so much. And thank you for just blessing this whole line. I'm going on mute. Love y'all. Go ahead, Dee Dee Charisse.
Cool. Thank you, Dee Dee.
Anyway, I play too much. Listen, honey, I'm not going to tell y'all all the details because I don't want y'all to get y'all Twilight Zone glasses out. I took a class last night that was not just eye-opening. Dee Dee, I saw you jump on for about 13 minutes, but it revolutionized how I look at how bad he want our focus, hunty. The enemy's ultimate goal, if he can hoodwink you and pull you away from the truths and the principles of the Word of God, and you don't have the wherewithal to focus enough to 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, you will get robbed with your eyes wide open. You will not even be aware that you've been robbed because you get sucked in so quick. I just want to say, Tan, your declaration was great. And the cold part is sometimes the thief comes dressed in a uniform just like yours. And they happen to make the same mistake as you and put the wrong uniform on for the wrong game. And if you're not paying attention, you won't know the difference. And to know that, Tan, I'll give you further details a little bit later. But one of the things that this person said was that how they move around, and this was outside of the order of kingdom living, was they were very disciplined, extremely strategic, very focused on making sure that they knew they showed up at Bible study. They showed up at church on Sunday. They watched you and me. They studied us to see how we didn't move around to make sure that they were filling in the gaps. So I just want to tell everybody this morning, you better be paying attention. Like in real life, where things are starting to be exposed, and there are moments of discomfort when it comes to kingdom living and kingdom building, where we as the church are being scrutinized for not having the wherewithal to pay attention, for being like sheep to the slaughter, and unfortunately, for lack of focus, for lack of discipline, for lack of commitment, for lack of identity. It's the truth. right? So I just wanted to say that this, your share was great. Diane, I enjoyed your prayer. And I just want to say to us, stay woke, please. And if you're not awake, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Straight up, I'm not even being funny. Like, it's time out for kidding and shucking and jiving and hemming and hawing. It's time for us to really, really get our heads in the game and play to win and stop playing for, it was a good game. We didn't win, though. No. Amen. Love you. Going on mute.
Love you more. Thank you. And looking forward to that other information that you have. But something popped up as you were speaking, Dion. You guys, loss of focus is a process. It doesn't just poof happen. It's a process, and the process can involve a lot of different things. Like it can involve, like, for example, you know, you generally are somebody that's really disciplined about studying your word, but something, a real life challenge happened. I'll never forget, excuse me, prior to my youngest son getting sick, I had been on this like major thing. I was praying and fasting and studying, and it was like almost, well, like it was a lot. It was a lot. I was interceding a lot for, primarily for our sons at the time. And then when my son got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, because life happened so quickly and hit us so hard, I didn't have the time to study like I had been. However, it was as if, somebody needs to mute your line, it was as if God had allowed me to store up in preparation for this storm that came. And I'm telling you, it was a storm that lasted really, really tough for about, really, really intensely for about 4 months or so before we even, well, maybe 3 months before we even knew what was wrong with him, right? But what I'm saying this to say that sometimes we can lose focus because life happens. In my case, thankfully, I paid attention and I yielded to that unction that I had to pray and study and intercede and to fast. I mean, it was I don't know how many months it had been, but I remember clearly I can see myself still in prayer by myself at church. Getting there early in the morning because I worked out of an office in the church running a truck driving program that I used to run for Goodwill Industries. But at any rate, I'm just saying I wanted it happened. It's not necessarily that we just stop doing things. Sometimes life catches us off guard and we're not able to do those things. We don't have a reservoir. It didn't mean that, it does not mean that I didn't pray at all. I did a whole lot of praying and seeking God, but, you know, taking the time to just be able to study the word and stuff like that, I didn't have the ability, I didn't have the capacity to do it because I couldn't focus, you know, really on the word. But once that season was over, as things started to get better, I got back into it. I didn't allow myself to stay in that position. The distractions come in as a process too. I believe, I don't have anything to substantiate this, but I also believe that the distractions that come sometimes are random, but they're very strategic to see which ones will bite on. So generally speaking, we can only be distracted by something that is appealing to us. Like, for example, the enemy cannot distract me with, I don't know, what he can't distract me with you know, fighting. I guess, listen, I'm not a fighter by nature. Now I fight you in the spirit, but you know, hitting somebody, punching somebody, you can't really distract me with that. I might get mad at you and cut you with some words, but yeah, I'm not gonna pull a knife out and cut you. You know, that's not, he can't distract me with that. He might throw a little thought out there. Man, you just knock her upside her head. I'm not doing that. But if I was to bite on that, what do I mean? If I was to take, yeah, I should. She deserves a good, somebody just need to knock her upside her head. And I think about, I could walk up to her and I could go and I start to meditate on, think about ways that I could do that particular thing. Now he's got me. It doesn't mean I've sinned. Now I'm starting to think about that particular thing. And maybe I dismiss it, but then, you know, this person has done something to tick me off. And every time I see them, I imagine, now I start to imagine what it would look like, what their reaction would be like if I hit them upside their head. You see what I'm saying? So it happens. These things happen in a process. And so that is a smudge. That is what I would call a smudge, a thought. You need to clear that out real quick. Remind yourself of who you are. Clear that lens real quick. Anybody else have a comment? Moni, I got your text. I'm going to do that. Anybody else have a comment before I switch gears?
Hey, good morning. This is Kedra.
Okay. I heard two people. I think Kedra and mm-hmm. one other person. Okay, Kedra and then Dr. Who?
Amos.
Amos. Okay, Kedra, go in that order and then Dr. Amos.
Hey, good morning. Thank you very much for the correction. I just wanted to elaborate a little bit more on how it was brought to my attention. Like, the devil don't want our stuff. And, you know, because of where my focus is and my walk today, it's like, he can have it. Because even if he did want it, you could have it because I'm focused and I know God got something better for me as far as the tangible things. And, to also elaborate, like when Dion interjected and said, we have to stay alert or stay woke. If things are not happening right before our very eyes, and it's like if we not study and show ourselves approved, or if we don't have that intimate relationship with God, we don't recognize it. So I just needed to say that, though, because like when I was listening to you guys, listening to you talk and discuss how we don't want our stuff and how we need to prepare our stuff, like I got butterflies in my stomach because we are in the sign of the times, and I know we've been saying that for years, but these are such the sign of the times, and we are under attack in spiritual warfare, and I'm woke, like I said, but I don't want to take for granted, I may be talking too fast, over talking, but although God will give us more stuff if the devil do want it or he gets it, we don't want to take that for granted. I don't want to do anything to displease God. I want to do what's pleasing to him, so. Thank you so much for the declaration. It helped my day to stay focused.
Thank you, Kedra. Have a great day. I enjoy hearing you speak. Have a great day. Dr. Amy?
Yeah, good morning. I want to just say thank you for your declaration. Where you're at is what I love, spiritual warfare. And I just wanted to share with everybody, just think on this. When the distractions come, and those are tactics of the enemy, that's right when you're getting ready to make an impact into the enemy's dominion. That means you're so focused and you're right there at your reward. Rewards are blessings from God because you've been obedient to rightly dividing the word. You've been obedient to seeking his face on how to proceed in life. And excellent perspective on the things, because the things that we have in this life is only for this life to make it comfortable for us to survive and move through, because we're just journeying through here because this is not our home. So no, the things are never important. What is most important is that fellowship that we have with the Lord, that we continue to seek his directives to get the download from heaven so that we can continue to make our journey home. I really enjoyed everything you said this morning. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Anybody else?
Hey, Tan. This is Gloria. Good morning.
Gloria.
I
hear you.
I can hear you fine. Oh, here we go. All right. I enjoyed the declaration. I'm definitely going back and listen to the playback. But one of the things that really struck me was when you talked about having on the wrong uniform. And what kept coming in my mind was about when football players or any other team, basketball players, they get all tangled up and they make a basket or a touchdown in the other person's goal range, basket, whatever, and how it just kind of throws everything off. It really, really struck me that
that's what happens whenever we are not focused and we're off center and we're doing everything except for what God has ordained and ordered us to do. So I really appreciate the declaration. God bless you and have a good day.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I just got a quick image. I don't know where I was. I think I was at one of the kids. Either I saw this on television or I was at one of my grandson's games. And it was the little bitty guys that are like five and stuff like that playing football. And the little boy got the ball and he started running towards the goal. But it was the wrong goal. He started running to the goal of the opposing team, and people were trying to get him to stop and turn around. And he was so focused on running because he had finally gotten the ball. You guys, if we're not focused correctly, we can be headed in the wrong direction. That's how important it is for us to remain focused. You know, when we talk about fasting, when we talk about reading our word, when we talk about praying, we're not suggesting these things just to tell you to do something. Like, it takes those things in order for you to remain focused, in order for you to remain in the faith. It's like the substance that you eat every day for natural nutrition. And you want to be careful about what you read spiritually, too. You know, if you just eat a bunch of junk or a bunch of fast food, yes, you'll get full, but it's unhealthy for you. You want to eat food. You want to have a balanced diet. That's the best thing, the optimal do. If you can, you know, eat organic and all that stuff, that's even better. But sometimes that stuff is just, it's just not affordable. And so we have to kind of, you know, work it where we can and be careful about, you know, certain things that we put in our body. But the same thing for our spiritual man. If we're not getting or giving or feeding ourselves the nutrients that we need, we're not going to be focused. No different than a kid that shows up to school every morning and they don't eat breakfast. They're not focused. Trying to go out, can you imagine an athlete trying to go run up and down the field the way that they do? It takes a lot. It don't look like it from the seats. It don't really look like it. But the impact, the running up and down the field the whole time, it's tiring. You get thirsty. And hopefully you had something, a good, you know, some type of meal, not a really, really heavy one, but you've eaten something. I don't know what a football player should eat before they play. Maybe a guy or so or a girl can tell us, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you've got to be prepared. Lastly, if you see somebody that's up and down, in and out, they always got drama. I mean, always. That's a person that does not have focus. Hopefully that's not you. If it is you, you were given some tidbits today. You can make a decision today that you're going to be focused moving forward. Because, again, lack of focus is a choice. Anybody else?
Good morning, Tanya. Renee, good stuff. I'm enjoying it.
Hey.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good to hear you. I wanted to go over, were you going to say something else? I'm sorry. No, okay. I figured you were just saying good morning. Listen, Moni asked me if I would cover the portion of the share where I talked about our uniform and what we put on. And, you know, the Bible talks about, I believe it's in Ephesians, it talks about put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and the shoes of peace. But I said that when we don't have focus, we put on the wrong uniform, the hat of doubt. Well, doubt, where does it start? It doesn't start in my feet. It don't start in my hands. Doubt starts in our mind. Now, it's not always the enemy that brings the doubt either. You know, I may bring the doubt. And the doubt might be, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to lift that much weight. I'm in the gym lifting weights, right? I don't know if I can lift that much. It looks like it might be too heavy. Let me test it out to see if I can give it a try. That's okay to have that kind of doubt. I doubt if I can live saved. I doubt if I can overcome. I doubt if God will help me. That's the wrong kind of doubt. you want to take that hat off right away. Don't let it sit on your head at all for any amount of time. The hat of doubt. The vest of condemnation, or we don't really wear robes. I don't even think bathrobes are that popular anymore, but at any rate, I just made it more relative to today. The vest of condemnation. We will put it on and keep it on, constantly condemning ourselves about what we did 5 years ago, what we did 15 years ago, condemning ourselves about a mistake that we made, condemning ourselves about, you know, not making the right choice, or our coulda, shoulda, woulda, condemnation to the degree that we feel that we can't move forward. You couple that with doubt and you got a serious problem. Yeah, doubt and condemnation, they are lethal. Those are lethal combinations of disaster. And somebody just, you know, curl up in the fetal position and die. Doubt and condemnation. Then there's the belt of lies. Yes, it could be the lies that we tell other people. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Girl, I'm too blessed to be stressed. For real. Oh, my God. We come up with all these cliches. And you so stressed you can't hardly see straight because your vision is blurry. You're on a focus. You lying to the people. They ask you how you are and lying to yourself. You ain't even trying to face it until you make it. You just say one of those cliches because it sounds good. You don't have any focus. Belt of lies. Then there are the lies that we just tell. You lie, you don't even have to lie. Did you read your Bible today? Mm-hmm, I did. I read the word today. Why would you lie about that? We asking everybody to fast on Wednesday. Did y'all fast? Mm-hmm, I fasted for an hour. You didn't fast, ma'am, sir. Lying unnecessarily, the belt of lies, like you put it on every day. You lie when you don't. I know somebody. I think they would call it a pathological liar. But I know somebody who lied when they didn't have to lie. It was sad. It is sad. And I pray for this person daily now, because the lies that they told significantly, they had a significant impact on some people that I know. And it was devastating. So the person lied, but they're skilled at lying, though. It's not just regular lies. They are anointed to lie. Is that possible? Mm-hmm. It's possible. When you don't serve God, you serve that other one. He gives you the ability, just like we are anointed to do certain things. Listen, are you listening to me? The enemy anoints people. Yeah, that spirit can come over them, and he anoints them to do things. You ever seen somebody that seemed to get away with everything they do? Whether it's stealing or lying, selling dope, whatever it is that they do, they get away with it. They are skilled. They are anointed to do evil, right? And so this particular person, they lied. Listen, there was a video camera that captured them doing some things. Do you know they lied? It's not funny. I'm not laughing at them, but I'm like, seriously? They lied and said, that's not me. Come on. The belt of lies. Shoes of confusion. Now, we know the Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. So here's a question. If God is not the author of confusion, he doesn't create it, right? He doesn't manifest it, none of that. Who then is the author of confusion if God is not? Seems like, to me, like it would be Satan, the devil, whoever you call him, however you call him. He loves confusion. It's another form of distraction. Confusion to the degree that you want to fight somebody. Confusion to the degree that you cannot move. It immobilizes you. The shoes of confusion. And then we got the coat of self-sabotage.
you make a step and you focus on yourself taking 10 going backward. You focus, you turn your focus on dismantling everything that you did. So you got a whole outfit on. You got the hat of doubt, vest of condemnation, belt of lies, shoes of confusion, and a coat of self-sabotage. Honey, you might as well go on and die. But guess what? You don't have to stay that way. You can turn it around beginning today. It's just by a decision. All you got to do is decide. And you can begin to make steps towards dismantling the distraction and the confusion and all those things by making a decision to read some of the scriptures that I named off, by making a decision to pray and ask God to reveal to you where are the smudges. Remember how I talked about and I don't know why. I think part of it is that I hate wearing glasses. They're a nuisance. I hate wearing them. I don't know if this is true or not, but like maybe it's part of my resistance to having to wear them, although it impacts me, not anybody else. So I'll pick them up. Like I would have, before my surgery, I would have glasses in key areas. I have an extra pair in the car. I have an extra pair on the treadmill, you know, a pair in my bedroom and a pair in my office. And then, of course, there's my real pair that's in my purse that I keep in my purse. In my bedroom where they are, they're not in an eyeglass case. They're just in a container that I have. So I reach back and pick them up. I'm not focused on the rim. I'm just trying to pick the things up so I can read. And I'll put them jokers on with smudge, designer print and all. I'll be like, man, I can't really see. Anyway, I know I'm kind of special. Anybody else have anything? No question, because I'll give you guys some time back.
Good morning, Tanya.
Yes.
Hi, this is Catherine. I just wanted to say I really enjoyed your declaration this morning. And after yesterday, the call, I really had to, I guess I phoned a friend and I really had to ask her opinion of me. And to me, I think that's like the smudge. We can't see, but sometimes other people can see what we can't. And the Lord just revealed to me that I had a spirit of offense. And your declaration, when you talked about showing up with the wrong uniform, it just showed me that when God says to put on the whole armor of God, that's not part of the armor. So like you said, you can't go to a fight with those things on. So it was very clear to me, and I'm glad that I heard the declaration today. And I'm unpacking the offense and really getting down to doing the work. But I really appreciate the declaration. I appreciate the friends that I do have that are willing to tell me the truth, you know. And I the Lord led me to call someone, and she was on the call too. And she said, you know, I was going to call you, but we really talked, and I appreciate her. And I appreciate everyone on the call. So thank you again. God bless.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you for your transparency too. It takes focus to be able to identify, first of all, that offense is one of the things that you've been wearing, and then to make a decision, you're going to wear it anymore, that you're going to take it off. But want to remind you, there's a process in taking it off. You know, when we make, because so that's where the fight will come in, is that the enemy will still try to make you and self make you feel offended by things, take things personally. One of the things that I've found is that I'm working hard to take the emotion out of the stuff that happened, right? So an example would be something happened with me and Carl yesterday, and it wasn't a big thing, it was a little minor thing.
And I got irritated. And the Holy Ghost said, why are you irritated about that? It's not even a big thing. I was like, you know what? That's right. And so while we were talking, I was like, it's not a big thing. I'm just bringing it to your attention. Moving forward, let's agree that we'll, you know, we have to do X, Y, or Z, or, you know, whatever you think, would, you know, something along those lines. Like, I don't want to dwell on the negative. It is what it is, that little minor thing. It's very, very minor. Whereas before, I would have had a whole attitude. I would have had a whole attitude, maybe for the rest of the evening. It's not necessary. That would have been a distraction from me, and then quickly learning what tactics I can do for myself to make sure that I don't get caught up into something. Like, what I'll do is, let's change the subject. Let's not even, we've talked about that for, you know, we can't talk about, there's nothing else to really talk about. You know, I could go back and bring up examples of things that have happened similar, but we've talked about that. Let's change subjects and let's move on to something else. Because if I don't, I'll find myself getting all riled up for no reason. Stupid. Don't even make no sense. Just got another designer print on my lens for no reason. Follow peace with all men. Without such, no man shall see the Lord. That's my goal, to follow peace, to do my part. I can't make nobody else have peace. I can create, Didi used to talk about a peace bubble all the time. I can create an atmosphere of peace, and I can command peace in my atmosphere. If you come in my atmosphere, you're going to get some peace, or you're going to go away. Go away. Go away. Anybody else?
Hello?
Diane. Hi, Diane. Did I hear somebody else, too?
Yeah, that was Mona. Hey, how you doing?
Okay. So, Diane and then Mona, I think. I think Diane was first.
Okay.
Okay.
I just want to say that, you know, I always love your declaration. And this morning you talked about the lands, you know, if they're not clean. And it reminded me, you know, it's hard to get your focus when you can't see. And I remember a while back, you know, I would always be rubbing my left eye. And when I went to have my eyes tested, my eyes have been the same for many years. I can't tell you when I went back to get my eyes tested every 2 years, it was still the same. But when I went this year, my left eye had gotten so bad, I couldn't read the letters out of it. So I couldn't focus when reading at home. I would just rub my eyes thinking that something, if I move something, I can see clearly. But my eyes had changed, only the left eye, drastically, where they had to change my lenses. And the doctor said he didn't know why it had changed so much. But once I got my lens changed, then I could see better. So now I have to read with my glasses on because I really literally can't see that good out of that eye. And so now my focus is better, and I can focus more even just using my eye as an example. When I stay in God's word, and I do a lot of that today because I don't have nothing else better to do, and there is nothing better than staying in the word, I can focus on it more, and then I can ask God questions and listen for him to give me the answer that I can apply it to my life. And in his word, he's teaching me how to just examine myself daily because I want to be better and I want to look more like him, literally look more like him and act like him, that the word can take root on the inside and show up on the outside. So I just enjoyed your declaration this morning about focusing on that which we need to keep our eyes on because it's our life. And I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed you this morning. I enjoy you all the time, but I really enjoyed you this morning, and I just thank God for you in my life. I love you, sir.
I love you more, Diane. Thank you for sharing. Mona, go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, look, I was rushing myself too. But first, I wanted to say thank you also. But as you, for the whole decoration. But for me, oh God, I just thank God for the desire to serve Him, because I recall being that person with everything that you named. I had all that on. Oh God, I had all that on. I mean, it's just crazy. And I remember also, far as my focus, how the enemy been trying to take my focus as long as I can remember. Oh man, but it's just so good. I know my desire was my choice. I remember just being so tired out and calling out to God, and that's when He been changing me. You know what I mean? I have always, to me, had the self-sabotage. Always felt like I was not going in the right direction. You know, just everything you had named. But I just thank God for Jesus. But when I thought about it, it was the choice, and I do understand that. It was the choice that I knew that I was just doing everything wrong. You know, not everything wrong, but, you know, I saw that I couldn't do it, that I just kept doing the same thing, the insanity. You know what I mean? So I'm just thankful for God. I'm thankful for so much for Jesus, because for not giving up on me, the Holy Spirit in my you know, the desire inside of me to want to seek Him, to want to do better. You know what I'm saying? All of that. I just thank God for that, because I know I was her. I had all that on. I had all that on, but not on today. Not on today because of Him. And I'm just so grateful, but I'm just so thankful for you, of how He uses you to speak to me, to speak to us all. But, oh, God, I am so thankful. You are truly, God has truly blessed, is truly uses you to bless us. He really does, and I'm just so thankful for that. And I'm just feeling good on today. Like, you know, even when you were saying that about the sabotage, I was like, wow, thinking back, like, Mona, but don't feel sorry for yourself, because look how He got you feeling on today. Look what He's doing in your life on today. You know what I mean? I'm just so thankful, and so thankful for you, of how He used you today. And I'm thankful. I'm just so thankful on today. Thank you.
You are welcome, Mona, and I am, you know, just in the short time that you've been on the line, being able to see your growth by hearing it, right, the way that you're speaking, and you're not talking in a doubtful manner, and the beauty is that, listen to this, you guys, God loves us. God wants the best for us. Even when we are floundering, and when we make mistakes, and when we do stuff on purpose, God loves us. He can't help it. He's not angry with us, because to the degree that He just wants to, you know, allow things to happen to us to punish us. Somebody needs to mute. That's not who He is. That's not His nature. He allows things, and sometimes He causes things to make us grow, to get our attention, but never, never, ever to kill or hurt us. Now, the process of what we're going through may hurt, right? It might hurt. It hurts when you begin to really strip away things that you've done, that you've been doing, like it's been a habit. It's how you've survived. That might hurt, right? But He's not doing it to hurt us. He literally is doing it to make us better, stronger, wiser, get things in us, get things out of us. Who knows? The things that we face happen for a variety of different reasons. I won't even try to begin to say that I know the heart of God or the mind of God as to why He's doing something in your life. Sometimes I don't even know why He's doing it in my life until after the fact. What I want you to get is that God loves you so much that He would give people like me a word like this to give to you, or somebody like Moses, or somebody like Dion, who came up with the topic, so that we can then begin to teach about focus and show you what that looks like.
Is there anybody else who wants to share or have a question or need clarity?
Good morning. This is Melina.
Okay, I heard two people. I heard, but I couldn't hear the names. Who was that trying to speak?
Jamila.
Jamila and it was Barbara, and then it was one other person.
Lavina.
Lavina. Okay, can we go in that order? Jamila, Barbara, and Lavina. Thank you. Go ahead.
No, you need a warmer jacket and more clothes. Good morning. One thing that you said that just really resonated with me was you gave a definition of vision. And I believe you said something about it's the ability to adjust to light. Is that what you said the definition was?
It was one of the definitions of focus. Yes.
So I just thought that was amazing because when we're in darkness and then we come into the light, it takes time to adjust. And so I just that just really resonated with me, and I have to sit down and think about that some more. But thank you for your share. Have a good
day. That was good, Jamila. That was good. Thank you. You have a good day too. Miss Barbara.
Tanya, I always enjoy listening to you. It's just something about your voice. But today was different. I'm kinda on the same street as Mona. Because some of the things you mentioned were me, and I was like, but I'm not doing that anymore. I've just had to make some different decisions in my life, and it's been hard. It's been very hard, but thank you for how you always, I like the way you put things, and it's so easy for me to understand. You're just a blessing, that's all I can say. You really are.
Thank you, Miss Barbara. I'm humbled by your comments. I really, really am. And again, just when I look back at when you first started calling and where you are now, just the change in you as a person, it took focus, regardless to whether it was hard. And nobody said that it was going to be easy, guys. You still did it. You stuck with it, and you are the better for it. And God's not finished with you. That's the amazing thing. He has some other stuff for you. He really does, that he wants to get to you. And I'm just looking forward to seeing the continued work that God is doing in your life. Be encouraged today to keep going.
Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome. Miss Lavina.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
You know, this word, even though I'm transparent, I did not hear none of your declaration this morning. I'm sorry. By the time I got on the line, I had another conference call. But anyway, but what I have heard thus far, and God reminded me, I had to go take my driver's license on Thursday. When was my birthday? Anyway, it was Tuesday, Monday. I had to go do my driver's license, renew them. And I did not have glasses, right? Quote, unquote, they say I'm supposed to wear glasses. I have not worn glasses in over 2 years, probably. And it is God's spirit that's in me that allows me to focus. And so the young man said, do you wear glasses? And I chuckled. He said, no. He said, do you need glasses? And I chuckled. I said, no, because I had prayed and asked God to let me focus to be able to see what I needed to see. And I was able to read every line on that eye chart with such clarity. And then the Lord also reminded me this morning as you guys were talking, he dropped Ezekiel in my spirit about the wheels that went around the wheel in the middle of the wheel and how they're just covered with eyes. And those eyes are focused. They don't miss nothing. Everywhere they turn, they don't miss nothing. They focus. And so the God that's in us is having us focus in this season like never before. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I love you guys. Lifesavers.
God bless you. Have a great day. Amen. Yes, indeed. Jesus is a lifesaver. I wanna bring up something about delusion. You know, that scripture just really jumped out. Ephesians 4:22, and he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. It springs from delusions. Did anybody get anything out? Like, what does that scripture say to you? Anybody? Like, what comes to mind when you hear that? Nobody? It didn't jump out of nobody other than me?
This is Gloria. To me, it speaks to the fact that when my when I'm all jacked up in the mind, it causes my life to be even more corrupt because my thought process isn't right, and my thoughts are not in line with His thoughts. So I'm messing up everything, and it becomes deeper and deeper. The more messed up my mind is, the more delusional it becomes because of it. So it's like they're feeding off each other.
Mm. Wow. Think about this for a minute. Anybody else before I go deeper? Some of the things that we do, if we look back in our life, not to stay there, every now and then, it's important to review history so that we don't repeat the same mistakes. If I look at, and this, it, somebody's toes might get crushed. Oh, well. If I look at the fact that here I have the Word of God, and it clearly gives me a roadmap to success. It clearly tells me there are some things that are gray areas. We're not really sure, you know, the Bible doesn't really say don't do that, but there are some scriptures that are very, very clear. Like, for example, flee fornication. Run from it. Some of us run to it. Under the delusion that God knows my needs, you know, He know I'm a human being, He know I'm a woman, or He know I'm a man, and He, you know, it's okay. Maybe you don't have sexual intercourse. Maybe you have another form of sex, but it's still sex. Under the delusion that it's okay for you, why do you get a pass? Why is fornication okay for you? If you don't know what fornication is, fornication is having sex with someone that you are not married to. Same sex, different sex. You having sex with somebody that you're not married to. It's part of the Ten Commandments. It's not just in the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. It's also in the New Testament. It talks about how our body is a temple. And that's the greatest sin that we can commit against ourselves is when we commit fornication. You don't accidentally have sex. Somehow or another, there was a decision. And it's not to beat anybody up, but under the delusion that it's okay. Under the delusion I won't get an STD. Under the delusion that I won't get pregnant. And then, oops, oh, man. The delusion of dating and having a relationship with somebody else's spouse, adultery. Delusion that it's okay. Because I don't really want to be in a committed relationship, but you're going to wreck somebody else's house and share somebody else's spouse? Ooh, quiet. Delusion. Delusion that I don't have enough money to pay my bills, so I'm going to go ahead and use the company's money. I'll pay it back. That's called embezzlement. It's really called embezzlement. Embezzlement is a cute word for stealing. Thou shall not steal. No matter how you justify it, under the delusion that it's okay, they don't pay me enough money anyway. I deserved it. Then you start justifying.
not you, other people, not anybody on this call, other people in the world, delusion that it's okay, or any type of ill, anything that we're doing outside of the will of God, under the delusion that it's okay for us. But why? Why are you special? We got to be careful not to live in fear, but to honor the whole law. For the Bible says that we can be guilty of one, we can offend the law in one manner, but we will be guilty of all. Part of what we do as human beings is that we rate sin. We categorize sin. Oh, it's a little white lie. There are no white lies or black lies or green lies. They're lies. There are no half-truths. Either it's the truth or it's not the truth. Now, I can have a perception of the truth, and you can have a perception of the truth, but it's what I believe, right? Yeah, that was a lot. But listen, God is soon to return, you guys. When he returns, he's looking for people without spot or wrinkle. In other words, he's looking for people that are not making excuses about why they didn't, not couldn't, because you can if you want to, why they didn't live a life that was pleasing to him. That's who he's looking for. And I'm telling you, the time is getting sooner, earlier, faster, however you want to put it, than it was. The signs are all around us. Are you woke? Are you focused? Are you paying attention? All around us. One of the scriptures says that in the last days there will be a great falling away. One of the things that Deanna and I were talking about the other day is the mentality of so many men and women of God that are in leadership positions. I'm not just talking about laypersons. I'm talking about pastors and bishops and apostles and people who have key roles in the kingdom that have given themselves over to all kinds of filthiness of the flesh. Things that if you knew, it would completely devastate some people. And then justifying it and getting up. Hello, can you mute, July? Can you please mute? Then justifying their actions and getting up in the pulpit on Sunday morning, doing spiritual calisthenics and dropping a word. You guys, we have to be so focused that even if our pastor or our first lady or church leaders, even if they made a decision that they no longer wanted to be saved or they were exposed for some things that they had been doing, we have to be so laser focused that we don't allow it to make us fall. We have a personal salvation. We are under the leadership of people, as I get ready to close for real. We are under the leadership of our leaders, but they are not the ones that saved us. You can live a saved life outside of them. Would it be devastating? Would it be disappointing? Absolutely. But it should not shake your faith. Your footing should be sure in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not in the theology of your leaders. Yes, we respect them. Yes, we love them. Yes, we give them honor. Your salvation should not be completely wrapped up in a man or a woman, no matter how spiritual they are. Because given the right set of circumstances, anybody can fall. We've seen it. We've seen it. So with that said, I don't have anything else. I'm going to go ahead and give you guys 5 minutes back. I'm going to pray out before we hang up this morning. But I'm really going to challenge you to remain focused and to remember the enemy does not want your stuff. He simply wants your focus.
and he'll get it through distractions if you allow him to. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the word that went forth this morning, not just what you gave me, but everything, every comment that was shared. We thank you for those that listened, that wanted to comment but couldn't because of their geographical location. We pray for them, God. Every person under the sound of my voice, whether they are listening live or listening to the playback, we pray, God, that you would help them to make a decision to be focused. You would help them to make a decision to do that which is pleasing in your sight, not to be men pleasers, but to please you, God, in the way that we speak, in the way that we live, how we conduct ourselves as your ambassadors. Father, we thank you that you are our peace. Thank you that you are our joy. Thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. We ask that you would bless us as we leave from one destination to the other. Bless us when we're out in the marketplace. Help us to remember that we are ambassadors and that people are watching. Thank you for humility. Thank you for who you are to us, God. We magnify you and we praise you and give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have a great day today. Make sure that you call back tomorrow morning. We will see you back here at the same bat station and the same bat time. Go and grow in Jesus.
Love y'all. Have a good day.
Love you.
Praise
have
God.
A good day.
You.
Love you. Have a blessed
Bye.
Day, everyone.
Peace.
I love you.
Love you too, Vaughn.
Women's call tonight at 6 o'clock.
Bye-bye.
nothing. I'm